If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes. In today's episode, a levitating dictator fueled by unfiltered evil energy takes on a tag team of two master marksmen who never miss and kind of never shut up, by the way. In one corner, you have M. Bison, the tyrannical overlord of Shadaloo, my favorite place in the whole world, wielding psychopower, teleportation, the kind of ego that could flatten a continent. And in the other corner, you have Hawkeye and Green Arrow, two trick shot legends from different universes, Marvel and DC, of course, armed with explosive arrows, razor sharp wit, and enough teamwork, hopefully, to take down gods, aliens, and whatever else wears a cape and needs humbling. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this battle has never been discussed before in the history of freaking mankind. I checked Google. I checked Bing. I checked ChatGPT. A comic book store, whatever it is. Eric as well. My whole point is no one has ever talked about this battle before. It is a premier geek culture matchup brought to you by Who Would Win. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. So, Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
We just do not fail what we bring to the table. These battles? What? I mean, wow.
I got to credit you with this one because you're like, okay, M. Bison, we want them on the show. We want this character to kind of do the thing. We were coming up with characters like, what about this person or that person? What about her? And all of a sudden, Eric's like, why does it have to be one person? And I'm like, go on. And he's like, what if we had a team? And we kept coming up with teams of superpower beings. I'm like, what if it was a team of people who could do superhuman level things but weren't superhuman themselves? And thusly, Hawkeye and Green Arrow teaming up against M. Bison. Now, here's the deal. A lot of people always say, like, who would win between Hawkeye and Green Arrow? They're so similar. They have the same, motifs and the whole weaponry and all that. But if you put these two guys together, that's where the magic happens. And Bison, can he overcome something like this? I just don't know, but Eric's going to see what he can do. Okay, but you know what? We got to go to our judge.
Oh, we do. We do.
I got to see what our judge, and we've heard this judge before. We've seen this judge before.
They might recognize his voice.
Legion of Audience, you might, because it is our ongoing permanent mainstay judge.
Going on.
The one. It's the only. It's, I don't know, soccer celebrity influencer extraordinaire. It's the mayor of Beverly Hills. Yes. By the way, I got texted by the mayor of Beverly Hills, and they were not happy that we said there was someone else being the mayor of Beverly Hills.
Oh, there's a little dispute going on.
Step up. Let's have a who would win.
Between we need a recount, right? And bring him in here. We can rumble it out.
Oh, my God. Let's have a fight between Mayor Beverly Hills, who I'm sure is lovely, versus Tadeo, who would kick their ass.
Lovely.
That's right. So, without much surprise, welcome back to Who Would Win, Tadeo.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? What's going on? What's the latest in Tadeo's world?
Yeah, what's happening?
Well, I'm feeling excited. I was just at Irwan, right? So, we're at Snapchat or TikTok or Instagram headquarters.
Blank spaces,
which trumps all of those. So I just came over, had a nice meal at Irwan. We were just in the gym casually squatting 325 pounds because we're real world superheroes, by the way. Yes. And I want to push back, James. These are the most important conversations in the world. doing right here. Can I get an agreement, Eric?
Yes,
yeah, I'm getting an air five from Eric. This is the most important conversation kids and adults alike should be listening to.
Nice.
But this is an incredible matchup. I had the honor of having quarters and playing M. Bison. Oof. Master boss.
Hell yeah.
He is a G. And I think it's only fair that we tag team WWF Royal Rumble style, have Hawkeye and Green Arrow to dispute this champ, this boss. Ooh. So this is going to be a tough one because if it was just M. Bison versus Hawkeye or Green Arrow, game over. Game over. Get your quarters ready. You're going bankrupt. It's laundry money, right? It's all gone. But now I want to hear what Eric has to say in defense of these two come alike soul brother twins. And what you have to say about the boss man?
Well, here's the thing, Tadeo. You may not have gotten the memo, but I'm actually repping Hawkeye and Green Arrow.
Bison, baby.
That's right. And here's the reason
why. Okay, talk to me.
Okay, so someone explained to me, because you know, the running joke is I'm not a huge gamer, mm-hmm. and people are like, you need to dedicate some time. And I'm like, I've got an opening every Tuesday between 3 a.m. and 3:15 a.m. to do something additional to what I'm doing right now. But the whole thing is when someone explains to me what M. Bison could do, and I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? And here's the thing, I love the challenge. I love mm-hmm. kind of bringing something to the table, some opponents to the table that seem have no freaking chance mm-hmm. against a character, but then I figure out a way. I love the strategy. This is what I love doing. Mm-hmm. And Eric's been stepping up his game. I think we're going to have an epic battle today. So I think you're absolutely correct in your assumptions for all of this. Yes. Now, with that being said, let's get to today's battle. And before we do, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line of a Who Would Win match is that from one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for M. Bison.
Can't wait. M. Bison is the cape wearing. You got to have a cape, my friends. I have one at home. It actually looks more like a cloak, but it's a cape as well. Anyhow, he's a cape-wearing, floating dictator of the Street Fighter universe. That's right. A lot of us did use some quarters to play that game, baby. He's also powered by a nightmarish energy source known as Psycho Power. We've all met some psychos in our lives. We might still have some in them in our lives. Okay. He's a warlord who can fly, teleport, possess bodies, launch city-destroying energy blasts, and punch with the force of a tank. Not only is he absurdly strong, fast, and durable, but he also leads Shadaloo, a global criminal syndicate, just to pass the time between massacres. Bison doesn't care about morality or mercy. His goal is domination through fear, pain, and psycho crushers. He's essentially what would happen if a Bond villain fused with a Dragon Ball Z final boss was to happen.
That is an excellent way of describing M. Bison, by the way, and pretty scary too. Well done, Eric. Yes, yes. Here are the facts for the team of Hawkeye and Green Arrow. Now, Clint Barton, Hawkeye, and Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, are the ultimate archery tag team. At least they will be once I'm finished with them. One's an Avenger, the other's a Justice League mainstay, and both treat impossible trick shots like casual warm-ups. Hawkeye is known for turning anything into a weapon, including plunger arrows, USB sticks. I think he used his tooth once to take out someone, while Green Arrow brings gadget-loaded shafts and Batman-level hand-to-hand skills to the fight. These two don't miss, don't back down, and don't stop talking trash. I love it. It's like me in jiu-jitsu class, by the way. They're Olympic-level athletes with insane aim, tactical brains, and arrows for literally every situation, including boxing gloves, EMPs, smoke screens, net traps, and literal nukes on a stick. By the way, did I mention boxing gloves? Because when you're fighting someone who can float and possess bodies, you know what takes them out? A boxing glove. Good luck dodging two bullseyes at once, because that's what you'll be facing, M. Bison. And boxing gloves. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Tadeo, do you have any questions before we get started?
I definitely do. I'm curious as to M. Bison. What's his finishing move or special move? Because I remember Street Fighter when you had that code where you'd hit the button, something would happen.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The Cycle Crusher.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, Cycle Crusher. Yes.
Ooh, that sounds cool. Okay.
And I'm going to break that down, how that looks like.
Okay.
In my point number one. Yeah. So, yeah, you remember.
Yes. I dated someone named that, by the way.
Is that your first or second ex?
What's that?
First or second ex?
You've seen the videos.
You're like, so how would that conversation happen? Cycle crush me, baby.
No, it wasn't me willingly having that happen, by the way. I'm sad now. All right, Eric, go ahead and hit us your point number one.
I will. Thank you. All right. I want to get into his psycho power overload. Okay. Let's break down Bison's psycho power. It isn't just energy, folks. It's a weapon of sheer domination. This unique force amplifies his strength, speed, and reflexes to superhuman levels, allowing him to perform feats no ordinary fighter could dream of. You remember seeing one at little machine when you had all those quarters loaded up and the things that he was doing back then, Tadeo? All right, listen, he's destroyed entire military bases. You destroyed entire military bases while using him with your quarters that you paid to use him with. Anyways, he's levitated and teleported mid-fight and unleashed energy blasts capable of tearing through reinforced walls. His signature move, which you asked about, was and is still till this day, the Cycle Crusher. What this Cycle Crusher is and how it looks like, basically, it transforms him into a high-speed flaming spiral, you recall now, Tadeo, of destruction that can incapacitate multiple opponents in a single strike. Against the archers, Bison doesn't wait for them to aim. He overwhelms them instantly, combining unstoppable power with teleportation to dominate the battlefield. And all that is my point number one, James.
Okay, here's the deal. M. Bison is insanely impressive, right? In the Street Fighter universe, I mean, he's probably without compare, right? He's the top dog. He's the final boss, all that kind of good stuff. In the Marvel 616 universe, he's mid-powered at best. You know, here's the thing. There's a lot of people who can outdo him in a much better way. They're faster. They're more powerful. They can teleport better. They can do crazier stuff, power up with more energy, do crazier things. And the cool, insane part about all of this is, and that's also said, is even more so the case in the DC universe, which is often told or said to be way overpowered. And Green Arrow and Hawkeye in the respective universes have seen all of this, encountered all of this, and have beaten all of this before. So as impressive as M. Bison is, because he is really impressive in the Street Fighter world, in terms of DC and the Marvel universe, he's cute. He's okay. He's not bad. You know what I mean? He's not bad. I think the greatest thing about him is that he leads a criminal underground or terrorist organization, whatever you want to call it. That's cool. But even that's called like AIM or Hydra. And so, you know, Hawkeye's dealt with that too. So he doesn't bring anything to the table that they haven't seen before. I'm not saying they can easily deal with all of it, but they're not inexperienced. Nothing that Eric's listed, as impressive as it is surprising to either Green Arrow or Hawkeye, right? And these are two insanely smart people, too. Very, very experienced. Now, let me get to my point number one. I'm going to talk about tactical teamwork and arrow variety. Now, this isn't just two guys with arrows, right? It's coordinated precision, you know, tactical genius as well. These two separately have fought armies, superhumans, and literally gods within their respective comic book universes. They also know how to be part of a team, and they know how to kind of be part of a team where they're like, okay, here's Thor, here's Captain America, here's the Hulk, got it. I have my spot right there. And then here's Green Arrow. Well, there's Batman, there's Wonder Woman, there's Superman, got it. I'm fitting to the puzzle right there. These people, these two are going to fit together seamlessly because that's what they have to do in their teams. They're very often the only two without powers in whatever group they're in, but they're very often able to accomplish superhuman level stuff thanks to their arrows and their understanding of teamwork and how to kind of leverage what the team, other parts of the team are bringing to the table. So these two are going to gel immediately. They're going to even insult each other as they're making shots and everything because that's just what they do. They're going to trash talk each other, be sarcastic and the whole thing, but they are going to come together very, very well with all of this. Now, these two also carry specialized arrows. I mentioned explosive, freeze arrows, glue bombs, net traps, lasers, acid tips, and EMP rounds. All I'm trying to say is, all of a sudden, M. Bison's not dealing with someone who can shoot an energy blast or punch or kick or grapple. These are people who can simulate, you know, superpowers. And that's why I always say Batman's a superhuman level threat. He doesn't have superpowers, but his gadgetry, what he can do, enables him to do superhuman level things. Well, Green Arrow and Hawkeye can do that as well, except from a distance. And that's the cool part. These two are also masters at evading attacks as well. They have to deal with super speedsters, people like Thor, who can shoot Mjolnir at super speed, lightning blast from Storm, you know, the Flash or Quicksilver, true speedsters. And they've not only survived against all that, they've actually beaten a lot of these people as well. On top of that, this teamwork's going to be really interesting because one's going to draw M. Bison's fire while the other one lands the shot. As they cover, they're going to go back and forth. And M. Bison's going to be off balance the whole time. They're going to win by setting traps, disrupting M. Bison's attacks, hitting him from angles he can't cover with arrows. And some of these arrows, by the way, are powerful enough to hurt and even take out the Hulk. If they can do that to the Hulk, they can take out M. Bison. That's my point number one.
All right, so these guys are shooting a lot of arrows, it sounds like.
That's kind of their thing. That's by the way, great observation.
Yeah, I'm picking that up now after all the stuff you said. I got it. Now I got it. So with that, Bison doesn't fight like a normal target. Okay, we're not lining up, you know, like an archery range here, and he's just there so he can just, you know, locate their target, okay? Literally, M. Bison has teleportation and cycle power. I mean, literally makes him nearly untouchable. Arrows and traps only work if he stays still, and he won't. Every coordinated attack, the archer's plan can be neutralized before it even lands.
Interesting counter, by the way. All right, let's see what our judge has to say today. We've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Mm-hmm. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Wow, this is, you know, it's interesting because I always looked up to, as a kid, you're playing the video game, M. Bison is that guy. But for round one, I was kind of shocked to hear that he's a mid. Like, you know, when they say somebody's a mid, I never have dated a mid. I'm just saying, I heard the rumors, right?
I like how you're looking. I just wanted to
defend my reputation.
Apologetically, while you're saying that. Defending myself. It's okay, Eric. But it's okay.
This Psycho Crusher totally impressed me, but then when you rebutted and say he's a mid and he's like a B-movie character, I kind of felt like the tag team of the 1-2, not punch, but the 1-2 arrow, might have a little bit of an advantage at this point because I never knew that Marvel was so powerful compared to Capcom.
Yeah, and DC is at a whole other level. It's crazy, which is actually a running joke with comic book people saying, like, you know, DC is just overpowered. But we'll figure this out. All right. I'm not counting out Eric, by the way. He's on a very good streak debating, by the way.
This is just James's opinions, okay?
That's fair. That Tadeo agrees
some
with.
Of his friends.
Let's stay tuned.
We're not
friends.
His friends, Tadeo.
That's right. You've heard it. Let's stay tuned for point number two.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Let's see what you got, Eric. Here's your point number two.
Yeah, I will. I'm gonna. Yeah, next I'm gonna get into M. Bison's arsenal, okay? Yeah, let's get into it. Third person. Okay, we'll get into it. All right, M. Bison's arsenal is as deadly as his psycho power itself. His signature energy attacks, like the Psycho Blast and Skull Diver, aren't just flashy. They strike with precision and devastating force, capable of obliterating obstacles and enemies alike. Even his fists are weapons, infused with psycho power. Everything's psycho. Psycho, 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 psycho. Psycho power that can shatter concrete and rip through armor. Beyond raw power, Bison wields the environment itself as a weapon, using teleportation and aerial maneuvers to control where and how the fight happens. In the hands of an ordinary fighter, arrows and ranged attacks might pose a threat. Got it. These arrows slinging two little traveling buddies. But Bison turns them into tools of strategy, dodging, countering, and punishing anyone who dares oppose him. His weapons aren't just for offense. They reinforce his dominance, making him nearly untouchable on any battlefield. And all that's my point number two, James.
All right, interesting stuff. I like how you said, let's talk about his weapons. His weapons are punching, kicking, and energy blasts. Not actual weapons, just things he can do. But I digress. The whole thing with M. Bison is, you know, I know he can blast you from far away, but his energy blasts aren't insanely fast, right? And you're talking about two people who are masters of dodging and getting out of the way, because that's what they have to do just to survive any freaking fight they find themselves in, whether it's Marvel or the DC Universe. Because again, no opponent's mid. You know, they're going after like some insanely high-powered beings. On top of that, you know, M. Bison's really a ranged fighter. When he does, what's really impressive about him is he can tank a lot of attacks and then counter and kind of do it. But, you know, in Street Fighter, and that's the thing with fighting. That's what, and by the way, I piss off a lot of people when I kickbox or box with them. I like to hit and then get out of range. They're like, why don't you just stay in the pocket? And I'm like, it's not healthy for either one of us just to trade punches like Godzilla versus King Kong in a close distance. I like to hit, get out of the way, make a miss. And this is what Green Arrow and Hawkeye can do to M. Bison. But M. Bison kind of needs you to stay within fighting range, right? If you're like 5 miles away, M. Bison's like, I'm not fighting you. Or like, you know, 300 yards away, M. Bison's like, you know, okay, I'm coming at you, but you'll see him coming a mile away. But that's exactly where Green Arrow and Hawkeye like to be. They like to be at a distance. Now, they can fight up close as well, but they'll hit from a range, whereas M. Bison will not have that same range that they can hit. But let me get to my point number two. For my point number two, oddly enough, I want to kind of go into the long range combat mastery. So this team, they excel really at close up fighting, but really at long range precision warfare. They force their opponents to fight on their own terms. Why? Because again, that's the only way you're going to survive when you're an Avenger or part of the Justice League and you have an opponent who's like taking on, who's powerful enough to take on Superman, Wonder Woman, and even Batman's having an issue. You know what you don't do with an opponent like that? Get up close and personal. Oh, no, 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 no. You're staying far away, staying in the cover, and kind of hitting them when they're not expecting to get hit. And that's what both these guys are going to do. Now, Green Arrow one shot an arrow into the barrel of a gun from, I think it was like 400 yards away. Like, he's insanely precise. By the way, shooting someone in the eye, that is not something that these guys will avoid doing. They are nasty. They love taking arrows and doing horrible things to people. Hopefully, sometimes they deserve it. There was one villain that Green Arrow caught and was so angry with this villain, he forced the alien, he beat up the villain, put him on the ground, took out an arrow, and put the arrow into his mouth and said, you can't move, but if you do, I'm shooting you through the head, like at point blank range. And Green Arrow is just staying there, and he's just staying the whole thing, and he's just angry. And this villain who's super powered is just like, wait, what is happening here? It was kind of a weird kid story, by the way. My whole point is, he's nasty, and they'll go for really bad targets. Like shooting Senator Mass, sure, on M. Bison, shooting him in the eye. Yeah, with a high-powered arrow, yeah, that's something they can do. Or an explosive tip arrow, they will do that if they have to. They've both taken down enhanced super metahuman foes. Deathstroke, right? The greatest mercenary. Take Captain America and give him tons of weapons. That's Deathstroke. Iron Man, they've taken out Iron Man and even the Hulk. He's got to win over the Hulk in terms of Hawkeye. This is kind of crazy. Now, again, they're going to control the distance. They're going to keep Bison away. They're going to drain him with precision strike after strike. Remember, Batman sees Green Arrow as a serious threat, and Hawkeye has killed the Hulk with an arrow. When Batman sees you as a threat and the Hulk is scared of you, I'm pretty sure M. Bison's not going to be a big problem. That's my point number two.
So it sounds like these guys have been doing some interesting things
with arrows,
with themselves and their arrows when they're around each other alone. All right. It's a lot of like,
sorry, kids at home.
Uh-oh, as a judge, I don't know if we're allowed to bring that into the play.
You just have your arrows in there. Like, they both like arrows, and they're arrow buddies.
Oh, sorry, my misinterpretation.
Okay.
My bad mind.
Yes. So let me get into my rebuttal here. So, all right. Long range precision, right? Mm-hmm. That was the main synopsis of your big second point there. Long range precision is only effective against opponents who move predictably. Bison does not. Teleportation, let us not overlook this. It literally lets him vanish and reappear instantly, dodging even the most precise arrows. Every shot the archers fire can be turned against them, as Bison uses his speed and psycho power to close gaps, counterattack, or manipulate the environment. Controlling distance doesn't work when the battlefield itself bends to his dominance. That's my rebuttal.
That's actually a good rebuttal. I'm impressed. That's pretty cool. All right, but it doesn't matter what I think, because it's up to the judge. Because we're also at the turning point today. We've heard 2 points from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle? Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to gain the victory?
Well, you know, you've made some compelling arguments, but the distance, the precision shots, however, the ruthlessness, however, the M. Bison is a teleporter, and I don't know the range on it, but I feel like he could teleport the 300 feet or yards.
Easily. What are we talking about?
So that kind of negates the, you know, them being kind of like a sniper. They're arrow snipers. So, and if he took on, was it Ken and Ryu? Who were his rivals back then? Oh, yeah. So being a final boss and the teleportation, I think that kind of negates the distance, because I was leaning right into that, like, oh, they can just be perched up here, one there, one here. However, teleportation can kind of negate that, maybe even be a sneak attack. So I'm feeling like I want to see when it gets down to Mortal Kombat, even though that had nothing to do with a wrong universe.
It's fine.
What has to occur? But I've got this teleportation kind of negating the distance. So this round, I'm going with the boss man, the big boss, boss, M. Bison.
Ooh, interesting. We're tied. I had a feeling this is where we'd be, by the way. Mm-hmm. But the game's not over yet. Let's see what happens. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Eric, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
This is my point number three. I want to let you know about the boss, like you said, M. Bison. M. Bison, a ruthless killer, instinct, and mental domination that he possesses. Bison isn't just powerful. He's ruthlessly strategic. combining killer instincts with mental domination. He's ended fighters' careers with nothing more than a smirk and has even possessed entire bodies. I'm talking about possessed bodies to extend his reign. His presence alone spreads fear as he brainwashes fighters. Can you imagine going into a fight and then you all of a sudden become brainwashed? Scary, scary news. You don't want to be in that headspace. He literally manipulates world leaders, okay? We can use manipulation right now, people. But anyways, that's another discussion. And he also delivers psychic torment in the middle of battle. Bison doesn't hesitate and he doesn't show mercy. Even if one arrow flies past him, he's already mentally and physically dismantling his opponents. He wins by applying relentless pressure, both mind and body, until the archers break, unable to withstand the total domination he imposes. And all that, James, is my point number three.
Love that point. I think that's a killer point that would absolutely end this battle if it wasn't up against Green Arrow or Hawkeye. And here's the thing. The mental manipulation. Again, these two have dealt with insanely powerful telepaths that are literally all over the DC and Marvel universe. Professor X being one of them, but also, you know, there's the Purple Man. There's different telepaths. There's the, you know, Martian Manhunter, who's the strongest telepath possibly in the DC universe, that Green Arrow's on the same team with, by the way, and has to figure out how to fight against those mental blocks. By the way, what's really cool is Batman has mental blocks that he's taught Green Arrow, these Tibetan mind, things, whatever. I'm not saying Bison isn't good at what he's doing. I'm just saying that both Green Arrow and Hawkeye have experience way more powerful telepaths, both good and evil, and have had to deal with it. I'm not saying they won't feel it. I'm just saying this is not going to be surprising, nor will it have the effect that it would normally have when M. Bison's fighting someone. So let me get to my point number three. And for my point number three, I'm going to talk about battle-tested fighters under insane pressure. And before I really get to my point, I did a little research between our points, and I found out the range of M. Bison's teleportation. It is indeed really impressive. It is listed as being able to teleport half of a screen. So where would they are?
That is far.
That's right. Oh, totally.
42 inch, 72? I mean, there's...
No, we're talking about, so you take the battle, wherever the battle is taking place, right? Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, so they're right there.
It could be the ocean in the screen. That's a long, long range. Right.
So the immediate battle is taking place, and he can teleport behind them in the immediate. Like, so if you take the full thing, let's say it's 20 feet of fighting arena, whatever, fighting landscape, he can teleport 10 feet behind them. Now, by the way, that is an awesome thing to be able to do in the middle of a fight. Like, if you're in an MMA fight or a cage fight or in a close, like, you only have so much distance, and you can teleport immediately behind your opponent, that is awesome. You have a huge advantage.
Fact check that.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You cannot do that when someone's 300 yards away. Or, I don't know, 100 yards away.
So it doesn't scale to...
No, it does not. And that's the problem.
Wherever you researched that, did it talk about scalability? Mm. Does it not scale?
Yeah, it said the total that it could... That M. Bison can teleport in gameplay or in combat is half a screen. Half a screen. So let's say it's 30 feet.
What if it's an ocean scene or like a massive wilderness? That's a lot of range, baby.
Anyway, so half a screen. Okay. And my point is that it's a great tactic. So if he gets up close and they kill that range, then all of a sudden, then he's got a tactical advantage. But that's not going to be taking place. Or if it is, it'll be with one of them acting as a distraction for the other. So here's the thing. M. Bison might kill one of them. Mm-hmm. He absolutely might beat one of them horribly, kill one of them. Then the other one's at a range being like, wow, I'm so sorry. My new best friend died like that. I'm going to shoot you in the eye now or in the mouth or I'm taking you out. And on top of that, from 300 yards, they have tactical nuke arrows that can are like contained within a short distance of like 100 meters, whatever it is. They'll contain it right there. So the thing is, they have arrows that also specialize in what are called area of attacks. So they don't actually have to hit M. Bison to hurt him. They can literally shoot like, I don't know, 10 feet away from him. And he's like, hi, you missed. And he's like, did I? And all of a sudden there's a boom, nuclear explosion right there. And he's taken out. They have a ton of arrows like that. Now, on top of that, too, they're rapid fire succession specialists. They're going to shoot the net arrow, then the electrified arrow that shoot that electrolyte shoots a blast of electricity or whatever. Then they're going to shoot that boxing glove arrow because they just want to get rid of it. And then they're going to shoot a whole bunch of different arrows, then the nuclear arrow. And they're going to be doing this at rapid fire. Never mind just regular arrows that hit harder than a bullet does from a handgun. Right? And that hits harder than any punch that M. Bison's feeling. My whole point is these two have fought alien invasions, multiversal crises, post-apocalyptic hellscapes. These guys don't crack under pressure. They know what they do. Hawkeye's held his own against bots. Green Arrow's beaten Batman in a fight, which is really insane. Went outmatched physically, which is all the time. They just fight smarter. Mm-hmm. They're like, and by the way, they expect to be outmatched physically by powers, by everything. And they train to deal with that all the time. They know how to use distractions, trick arrows, dirty tactics. There's no honor that these two have other than that they're kind of heroes. So like, we're a hero. Let's take out the villain by killing them horrifically, shooting them in the eye. Imagine you get shot in the eye, then the throat, then the other eye. And they're just having target practice on M. Bison. And then they shoot him with a nuclear bomb. I'm just saying, and by the way, all while this is happening, he's using his great teleportation power to travel 10 feet in that direction or 30 feet in that direction because he's not really seeing because he got shot in the eyes today is what I'm trying to say. Look, these guys are going to stay mobile. They're going to be using strategy. Again, they're fighting someone who's insanely powerful in the Street Fighter world, but in Marvel and DC, he's mid at best. At the end, their experience, their ability to gel, their overabundance of arrows and everything they can do with it. Plus the fact these guys are kind of monstrous. Right? Not psychopathic, but like violent. They're going to overwhelm M. Bison. He's not going to be used or ready for anything like this. That's my point number three.
Okay. So this is what's going to happen. All right. These guys will run out of arrows. Okay. Bison will literally teleport and take their arrows. Simple as that. They won't have no arrows. Then they have to try to fight M. Bison with all of his psychic intimidation and environmental control to disrupt every trap and shot, okay? Then he's going to overwhelm them with high-speed, unstoppable attacks, relentless pressure, and tactical dominance, leave the archers no chance to recover. I say Bison wins through mind, body, and battlefield control. And he's also has all the psycho power that he needs. And all that's my rebuttal to your last point there, James.
I love that rebuttal. You are definitely up in your game. But again, doesn't matter what we think, because now we have to go to our judge, Tadeo. You've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. We need to see what's going on. Tell us, take us through your process. Tell us the story. Tell us who wins between the team of Hawkeye and Green Arrow versus M. Bison.
This was the first time I've seen three people battling in the Who Would Win universe. So I kind of got excited because I was seeing teamwork and camaraderie. So I was seeing the semi-treacherous anti-heroes as Hawkeye and Green Arrow conspired. So I see them perched up on a tree. However, on this bluff, I feel this batter is happening on a bluff. This is just what I'm seeing.
This sounds right.
With an ocean backdrop, right?
Yes,
can we see this?
Yes, a very vast space, yes.
So, you know, I'm not good at scaling, but I see them on this bluff, and I see it a precision perched on the tree, a coordinated precision attack, and they fire off, right? Dead eye central range. They're both shooting at his eyes, right? To blind, to just take out attack. However, at the last moment, harnessing his power of teleportation, M. Bison finds himself behind one and then the other. And on the next round, they're shooting blanks. And I'm preferred. There's no more arrows. I'm sorry. Wait, come on. Don't look at me funny. I'm saying they're shooting blanks. There's no more arrows. And with a cycle crusher, and the reason having spent my mom's fortune in laundry money, and that's why my clothes weren't clean, the dictator, and he's a true life dictator, right? You know, people use that word carelessly. A real dictator of billions of people. The cycle crusher, he drills through both of them to the point of nearly decapitating them because he crushes concrete. And these are normal guys, not like us. These are normal dudes without their arrows. And I feel that they're incapacitated for about 30 minutes. They're going to need some smelling salts, the two of them. And in this episode of Who Would Win, M. Bison, the dictator, the final boss of the universe which we all lived in when arcade machines still existed. By the way, there's one now at, all you have to do is go to that Dave and Buster's or that arcade in Beverly Hughes? Center.
Oh, Beverly Center.
Beverly Center has a place where you can go bowling. And they also have video games.
Oh, beautiful.
So in this world that I've seen, as an impartial judge, kind of delving into my childhood, I see M. Bison somehow victoriously taking on Hawkeye and Green Arrow, who in almost any circumstances would be an undefeated duo. But M. Bison levels them with that psycho power and his final blow as the boss man. and he's just going to cycle crush her through them both.
Unbelievable. Really, that's your celebration.
Yes,
that's your
celebration. Yes. Okay. It came from within me. Yes.
I'm going to have to say the only thing I disagree with, mm-hmm. with your whole judgment, because it is indeed wise. It is, there's a lot of depth to it. And you took in a lot of factors into consideration.
He told a story.
He did tell a great story, by the way. The only thing I take exception with is, first of all, you gave Eric the win. I take exception with that. Number two, more importantly, I don't think they'd run out of arrows. And I'm not saying they'd win. I'm just saying I don't think they'd run out of arrows. Because remember, these are two people who understand that they're limited arrows in the first place that they have. So they're very economical in what they do with them, right? They wouldn't. I'm not saying they wouldn't be like, we got no chance. Just unload absolutely on this guy. Maybe. But I think they would be very careful and very cognizant of how many arrows and or weapons they have at their disposal. But with that being said, I love the story. I can't disrespect your decision because it's pretty cool. Plus, I think in your mind, Green Arrow and Hawkeye did way better than they should have in this fight, which I consider a win. So in a weird way, I won this battle because I swayed the judge the whole time. I'd like to thank the fans, Legion of Bot. No, I'm kidding. I didn't win.
It's an honor to judge's opinion.
Let's go to the actual winner. Eric, great victory on your part. Yes. Tell Legion of Bot, your fan base, how you're feeling.
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like I earned it. I'm feeling like a winner. Yeah, and my points were validated. They were listened to. They weren't ignored. I feel like a winner.
What?
They weren't ignored. I'm yelling. I'm sorry, judge. This is the judge that we need.
This is the judge we need.
This is the guy you can trust.
You know what? I like it. I agree with you. And first of all, congratulations on a great win. You wrapped that Bison really well. But I also think I got to more importantly thank the judge. Let's focus on the judge, not Eric, for this battle, because you actually gave a judgment that made me feel great about what I did. Mm-hmm. Right? That is impressive when a judge can be like, no, someone got the win, but the other side feels still really great about how they did in the fight. Like, I think I feel better about how I did than Eric does.
I want you to feel
hard. It's crazy. So thank you for that. I don't, by the way. I wish I won. Well, but I
from
not.
Here, do I get to the Supreme Court or where? Am I going to D.C. next?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I think maybe you should. And, you know, the big country kind of can do some. I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying if the right people are listening, it could happen. Great job, Tadeo. Thank you so much. Again, proving yourself why you are the mainstay judge for the Who Would Win show. In the meantime, until we hear from you next time, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You can find me online at Cuerpazo. But actually, let's say it right, Cuerpazo. Yes. You can find me on Instagram, Cuerpaso. I look forward to seeing you there or Beverly Hills or anywhere on the west side.
Very cool. All right, our winner, Eric Holmes. Great job today. Yes. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
That is me, James, the winner, correct. You can locate this winner at the THE Eric with the C Holmes. I'm just so excited I could really even spell my handle. Yes, the Eric Holmes.
You're Let's shaking. Connect. I don't know what's going on.
Come connect with the winner, guys. Let's just all win together.
You know, I did. I went over your house last time to connect with the winner. Not what I expected, by the way.
Right.
Not what I expected.
Good night.
Was it? Was it a good night? All right. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabs. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, Tadeo, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.